everyone. This is Andy Studna, editor of Applied Clinical Trials. On today's episode of the ACT podcast, we are speaking with Ashley Moultrie, Senior Director, DEI and Community Engagement, Javara. Ashley has over 10 years of experience in driving health equity in clinical research. In her current role with Javara, Ashley is responsible for the leadership and oversight of the Integrated Research Organization's DE&I efforts. Prior to her time with Javara, Ashley managed ClinOps for community-based oncology practice institutions and has experience with investigator-initiated community-based research. So with that, thank you for joining me today, Ashley. And I want to set the stage for our conversation today by starting off with, what do you think are currently industry's greatest obstacles in achieving greater diversity in trials?
So I would say one being access. I think we have lots and lots of opportunities across our industry, and they're concentrated in pretty specific areas and have been for a while. I think if we can solve the access problem, we'd be doing a great service. I think one of the other things that once we, if and when we get past the access problem, it's this idea of what I consider clinical trial education and awareness, right? So we can have all the trials in all of the places, but if folks don't really understand the process, I'm a big proponent for informed consent can't start at a screening visit, right? And so if we have trials in all of the places, how are we making sure folks understand what they're really signing up for and what they're volunteering to do? And I think one of the biggest ways we can combat that is through community engagement and education and awareness. And so making sure, you know, once we've solved for access and we've got plenty of opportunities in lots of places, we also have folks who are ready to make informed decisions. And so making sure that we are out and engaging in communities and with potential patients and families of potential patients significantly early in the process and not waiting until we have a trial to start having those engagement conversations.
Can you explain the model of integrated research organizations or IROs, and then how can one such as Javara obviously help increase diversity in trials?
Yeah. So the idea of the IRO is making sure that folks can get access to clinical trial opportunities where they're already receiving care. And so an IRO like Javara, our entire goal is to essentially be the research infrastructure for a practicing physician. And in that way, our teams fully integrate within the practice or hospital setting, wherever the physician may be. We integrate into systems. And so we become a part of the physician's care team. I joke a lot when I worked in the clinic that sometimes folks didn't know if I was a Javara person or if I worked for Dr. So-and-so. And so we do that very intentionally because we want folks to feel like we're an extension of their care and not this, you know, mystery piece mystery folks who are just coming in to do this thing. I think our integration in that way, it sustains our longevity within the practices and institutions where we partner. And it gives potential patients and existing patients an opportunity to see it, like that we're committed. We're seeing this entire thing through. I think that's the biggest differentiator. People can get care where they're already going. They can get clinical trials where they're already receiving care. And they get that continuum of care with their care teams. We're an extension of that team. I've had patients in my career. One of my favorites is that my patients said that they were only going to do it if they can see their usual phlebotomist, because they've been going to that practice for 20 years, and that's the one person who can do it right and they get it done quickly. And being integrated in that way allows us to give patients that flexibility. We make sure the entire care team is on board, they're aware of what's happening. Now, everyone can't do all of the things, but there's a level of familiarity there that I think makes patients much more comfortable in participating. One of the hurdles that I didn't mention earlier as far as participation in clinical trials for marginalized communities is that there's a level of distrust with the health system as a whole, not necessarily just clinical research. But if I get to have my usual physician provide insights and suggest opportunities for me, I am much more likely to trust them versus someone who I've never seen before, you know, cold calls. And while I do understand in some places cold call works, but when we're already fighting an uphill battle of improving and trying to, you know, turn the tide, so to say, of industry, of our industry's sort of missteps previously. Having that trusted partner, I think, is key in helping move some of that forward, because patients are they're relying on those physicians and those health professionals to give them guidance on all of their care. And so why would a clinical trial be any different? And I think that's something that we really hone in on with our investigators.
One of the biggest pieces of news from the summer was the FDA releasing its diversity action plan guidance. So, how do you think this guidance will affect the way sponsors operate moving forward?
Yeah, I am a strong proponent for what gets measured gets done. And so I strongly believe having the industry guidance, once finalized and put into action, it'll require a level of accountability, that I think a lot of folks may have been working towards or figuring out, but having that requirement makes it real. I think it sets a precedent for what has to happen. And I think folks will start moving more intently towards those goals. It's when something's a nice to have versus when it's a must have. I think we move differently. We allocate resources differently. We discuss planning and things like that a bit differently when things are required. And so that requirement piece, I think, is necessary. And we've seen the shift already with just the guidance coming, the ways in which things are changing. And so once the guidance is finalized and it's moved out, I think that change and that shift is going to happen much more robustly. I think for our sponsor partners, one of the biggest things to consider is how it's going to affect implementation. And so there may be a change. We may have to adjust how we handle timelines and how we set these goals. There may likely be more time spent up front in figuring out of how to disseminate and when we're going to do trial selection, where are we going to place these trials, who are the investigators we're going to look at. But again, that level of accountability, I think, is going to force a lot of us, and not just sponsors and CROs at the site side as well, to do things a bit differently and consider things a bit differently, and prepare differently so that we can meet those goals.
So now for this next question, kind of moving on to maybe some of those operational aspects, but in your opinion, what areas of trial design should stakeholders be focusing on the most to increase diversity within their studies?
Well, once we account for access and education and awareness, I think once we've got patients in our clinics and we want them to have an equitable experience, I think one of the things we have to look at for starters is our inclusion eligibility, in that the ways in which we may unintentionally be excluding patients before they've even gotten, you know, through their first that first screening visit, and things to consider. One, the language we use. I know, like the idea that all women of childbearing potential have to take a pregnancy test. Well, for some women of childbearing potential, that should be optional, considering, you know, lifestyle, gender identity, sexual orientation. When you're thinking about more disease state specific things, and this idea of certain patients are more prone to and have a higher risk in certain comorbidities. And so if you're looking at kidney disease, for example, when you're going to set a requirement, inclusion or exclusion requirement around chronic kidney disease, you have to consider that different portions of our population suffer from kidney disease in different ways. There are more prevalence among certain communities, which leads to higher and varying EGFRs, certain kidney disease markers and traits that don't exist potentially in other communities or significantly lower in other communities. And those are the things we have to consider when we're writing inclusion criteria and thinking about when you're writing these things, who may we be unintentionally excluding and we're not meaning to, right? How can we make sure that everyone we want to have an opportunity to participate here is able to from the get-go when reviewing those inclusion exclusion criteria?
How important overall is industry collaboration when it comes to achieving greater diversity in clinical research?
I think it's a must. I don't think we can do it if we can't do it together. If on the site side of things, if I've got patients in the room and I'm ready and I'm noticing things are not really panning out the way we planned them, because the best laid plans on paper, you put them in a clinic, the thing, you know, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen inside of a clinic. But to be able to share those best practices back to our sponsors and CRO partners, but then also some of our tech vendors to say, hey, I know you meant for this to be easily accessible to all patients, but this, you know, this demographic of my patients is really struggling. Can we consider doing something a little bit different with the technology? You know, this particular assessment, you thought it was going to take 20 minutes, it's actually taking about 2 hours. Like, how can we refine this process? Still getting the necessary information, but to do it a bit more so in a way that's more conducive to the patient experience. We can only do that if we all are all willing to sit at the table and have the conversation around the patient experience and making sure our patients have that you know, what we call, you know, white glove service, and making sure that they want to come back and they want to participate. But we all have to be willing to sit at the table, so to speak, to have that conversation around what we can do better to collaborate.